Welcome back to the Captain's Run with Cameron Smith. Make sure to text in 0457 736 736. Quick little text here from Chase. He believes it's reduced high-speed, long-run-up collisions. If the ball is kicked shorter, less collision. I don't know if I agree with that, respectfully, obviously, because obviously we still have kickoffs and we've also got kick returns. And also dropouts, they're not notoriously known for, you know, really intense front rowers running it straight. Obviously, you can find your exception, but usually they're trying to get to a point in the field to get a quick play of the ball. Smithy, thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, completely agree, mate. I think the dropout return is more around finding a particular spot on the field where they want to set up from and start running their set plays, because most teams want to attack, right, off play two. You know, whereas in a kickoff, you're trying to make as much yards as possible and, you know, trying to return the ball as hard as you can, really, just to try and get away from your own try line. So I do agree with you there, but I don't think it's trying to reduce the high impact tackles.
All righty, let's get into Canberra. Defeat the Knights, and we've got some audio. Hudson Young was sent to the bin for an off the ball hit on Ponga. Have a listen.
Oh, what about the shoulder charge too from Hudson Young, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I think we've just seen that for the first time. So let's make sure here that Hudson Young can effectively get put on report, maybe. That's late and potentially a bit high from Hudson Young. Here we go. He's going to get caught out, is he?
He's got to get this out of his game, Hudson Young. Seriously. Oh, that's wow. 10 in the bin.
I agree with that, Joel. And we've got the referee now talking to Hudson Young.
He's looking around like, well, what have I done? Hudson, you've put a pumpkin on your head. You're about to let your team down, and you're going to get sent for 10 in the bin. And you're probably going to lead the first try to Newcastle. It is moronic what you've just done.
There you go. Wow. They didn't miss, that's for sure. Holy. That'll get
well,
that
out of here. That was Joely Kane and Brett Camorley, I think.
Wow.
Calling that. Yeah, got right into him.
Look. What I am surprised with, Smithy, mate, this is 10 in the bin even before all the rule changes. He shoulder charged his head off the ball about three seconds late.
Yep. And he avoided suspension.
Yeah.
I think he cop a fine, I think.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. I like that. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, no. Well, it was hard to see in live on the go, but when the replay showed, like, it was avoidable. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was completely avoidable. I know Hudson Young was following the ball. You know, he was chasing back, but, you know, he's completely avoidable. I know he sort of, you could mount an argument to say that he was bracing because, you know, Ponga ended up in front of him, but he got him. He got him flush on the chin. And he could have avoided it. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
He could have run around. He could have, you know, done something, like put his hands out. And the players know, mate, they're not silly. They know that any high contact now is going to be heavily scrutinised. And, you know, you see slaps on the face get put on report now. So if you hit someone in the chin or in the face or in the head, anywhere like that with your shoulder, you're gonna be spending time on the sideline. So, you know, 10 in the bin is a big punishment. You know what I mean? Like it's the Raiders did a great job to stay in the game and win that one with Hudson Young off the field. But he's copped a $750 fine, I believe. And he'll be available this week.
Yeah, the thing is this: if that was his own player in that exact spot, you reckon he hits his chin? I reckon he finds a way to miss him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say though, and look, I'm not excusing it and saying that he should keep it in his game, but I do think, like, that's a part of Hudson Young's game, as in that aggression, the niggler.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want him to completely remove that. I just want him to pick his moments, because it's an important part in a forward pack to have a player like that, that when it gets a bit, when things get a bit spicy, you've got a guy there to go all the way.
Well, he doesn't mind that rough and tumble stuff, right? And in a way, you know, back in the day, he would have been perfect. When that stuff was just, you would say it was legal, right, back in the day. I should say it was accepted in the game and it would just, it was just play on, like perfect. But the change now is it's not accepted. But the thing with those type of players like Hudson Young, like that's the style of footballer that he is. Okay, so he has that sort of, I wouldn't say like he tries to intimidate people, but he plays it pretty rough, right? So he's in the faces of a lot of, like, the halves, the fullbacks, you know, the nines. If they get in his vicinity, he tries to rough them up a bit and, you know, gets down and dirty at times, which is no dramas. Because the thing with those type of players is, if they didn't play that way, mate, they might not be playing first grade. Mm. It's the reason why he's in that football side. And I'm pretty sure, you know, knowing Sticky, he loves that type of stuff.
Yeah.
He loves getting under the skin of the opposition. He loves agitating, you know, the other players in the other team and taking their focus away from what they've set out to do or what they've planned to do during the week. And maybe that's why they got that result of 28 points to 12 against Newcastle at Newcastle.
Huge, huge win. I will say, Hudson Young is looking the fittest I've seen him look. He looked explosive in contact. Very, very excited for him this year.
Yeah.
And just another detail on this win, there's a bit of footage going around of a sign that was put up inside Ricky Stewart and the Raiders changing room.
Yes.
And I can't say what it says, but the first word starts with F and then it says M. It says, or them. M short for them.
Yes.
And I thought, look, I would say the Raiders are getting into the areas of Storm where, not as on the same level as Storm, but every time you count them out, they love it. They love it. And the Raiders are in, every time you count them out, they come out and do something like this.
So what you're saying is Sticky's very, very good at creating a, it's us against the world mentality.
Absolutely.
So that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
What would you reckon that would have been off the back of that that golden point or extra time victory last year?
Man,
Newcastle?
I reckon off the back of that, as well as just the amount of people that saying that, you know, Raiders don't have points in them, their spine isn't the best. I mean, Fogarty had one of his best games of his career. So I think this is a great one. Do you think there's concerns for the Knights?
Well, mate, that was a wonderful opportunity for them to get their season underway in a positive way. But I'll tell you what concerns me is, mate, I don't know if you remember me talking about the Knights last week, but watching them in their preseason game against Melbourne, like they had a pretty decent side that day, like close to what they rolled out last week against Canberra, and mate, they showed nothing. They showed me nothing where that got me excited about them, other than maybe a handful of touches from Kalyn Ponga, where he had a couple of good runs like he did the other night against Canberra, and as he did against Melbourne in that trial in Fiji. Outside of that, like there was nothing to get me excited about the way they played, particularly the middle forwards. I thought they were outplayed by Melbourne, who they didn't have their all-star forward pack playing. And Melbourne, like when you look at Melbourne at the moment, like they're not a massive football side. You know, they don't have, apart from Asofa Solomona, who is not playing at the moment, he's injured. They don't have a huge forward pack. Whereas you look across at the Knights, they got the Saifidi brothers. Like they've got decent size men playing in the middle. So that is a little bit concerning for me. I don't know if they've made any changes for this week, but, again, I thought, you know, Ponga, he had limited opportunities, but he looked pretty good. I thought that one sort of line break that he made up the middle, that was a good sight to see. It's great the way he brings the ball back positively and runs aggressively. That's when he's at his best, but it's a little bit concerning, mate, the way they went down at home.
Yeah, look, it's not the clunkiness that I have any concern with. It's not necessarily... It's more just the intensity. I just didn't see the same Steel City intensity. Because, look, anyone can come out round one and be too intense. And if you're too intense, you go, look, that's fine. A bit too intense. They got a bit ahead of themselves, got a bit too excited. I just didn't see that with the Knights. I didn't see a side that was almost chomping at the bit to be on the field. Now, maybe that's due to a plan. Maybe Adam O'Brien has a late season plan where he's going to sit there and go, okay, we're going to start off slow. We're going to build into the year, which, to be fair, that's kind of what they did last year. Yep. But I think that, unfortunately for the Knights, unless they come out and show, you know, glimpses of what they were last year early on, the pressure is going to be absolutely huge with the headlines and the media.
Mate, what's your thoughts on Cogger? Like, so at the moment, he started off the bench last week. He's been named at 14 again. Hastings and Gamble are in the halves. Do you think that's where he stays? Like, are they going to go, no, we're backing these two guys because they did the job for us last year and we're going to continue playing? Or do you think Adam O'Brien is thinking, well, look, it's round one, okay, we'll put that behind us, wasn't our best performance. We'll give these guys another couple of weeks, and if they don't aim up, well, Cogger goes in.
I'd be giving round one, round two completely free rein to Tyson Gamble, Hastings, mm-hmm. not because of the performances they've had, because they obviously haven't been great, more for team morale and setting the standard of I will be loyal to players that have done well and, you know, taken us to certain places. Mm-hmm. Round, if he goes out, if they both go again this week and struggle,
yep.
I would be having conversations with them heading into round three.
Yep.
Then the round three game would almost be the last game that I would be going, there's right. no way you can get dropped. Then I'd be making a hard and firm decision of where Cogger fits. I'd be giving Cogger at least a month of rugby league. And that's kind of how I would approach it. Just before we go to a break, how would you approach it?
Yeah, no, I think give them another couple of weeks. But the thing with that is, Kempe, like they've got a couple of tough ones. So they're on the road this week against the Cowboys.
Mm.
And then they do return home, but they're against the Melbourne Storm. Mm. So,
that's tough.
They're going to have to aim up those two boys in the halves.
Ooh, I mean, it's funny. When this signing happened, we all thought, yep, great depth signing, great stuff. Then he goes out and has that grand final performance, and you go, yeah. it's almost, yeah. as a Knights coach, you almost wish he didn't, because you're like, yeah. this just puts more pressure on my situation here.
That's right.
All right, we're going to head to a break. After the break, we've got plenty more to talk about. We've got the Eels defeating the Bulldogs, some big, big talking points out of there. We've got the Dragons defeating the Titans, plus plenty more.